Welcome to I'm Spiritual Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and today we have Tripti Kulkarni, neurologist, overall amazing researcher, migraine specialist, Ayurvedic expert. What am I leaving out?
And a mom.
Okay, and a mom, and a wife, and a wife. You know, and a caring friend.
Yeah.
How do you balance it all for you? Because I know your practice is very important to you, and helping people in chronic pain is a major priority. But for you, do you ever find yourself out of balance? And if so, what do you do to fix it?
Yeah, so great question. Thank you for interviewing me, Jen. You know, what I find is that because my practice is so reflective of who I am, the authenticity of me comes out in my practice style, that when I get myself out of balance, be it that I feel not connected with my patients, not connected with my work, I then use the same tools that I recommend for my patients. I use the same concepts of what is it that pushed me out of alignment? What do I need to say no to? What can I do more for myself? And the same recommendations, be it get more sleep, start to say no, take some supplements to balance the system. I use those on myself.
Right.
And I think the beauty is that because I allow myself to say no, I allow myself to make space for that. That has allowed me to be successful and actually encourage others to do the same.
So in a lot of ways, saying no is saying yes also. It's really saying yes to yourself and no to everybody else's to-do list.
Yes.
I think that part of I know that working moms especially, but working professionals, they have trouble saying no to their job. They have trouble saying no to their kids. They have trouble saying no to their spouse and their family and everything else.
Right.
And when it comes to the balance and the imbalance, you see it over and over and over again. The cortisol levels, stress, are off the charts, which are getting everybody in pain and out of balance. When I did the cleanse that you do and recommend seasonally, my adrenals were firing in all the wrong ways. To get them back into balance, I had to clear out all of the things that spiked my adrenals,
right?
So sugar, caffeine, a lot of the stress level, bad sleeping habits. What am I leaving out?
You know, it's amazing how you've named so many things that are reflective of what activates stress response system. Most people think it's their minds. Like they're just doing and being and kind of, like we were saying earlier, just getting too involved in life. Foods are activators. What type of work we're doing. Actually, if we decide within the framework of our work, if we spend more time, in my scenario, saying yes to things that were not conducive to my own learning. You know, if I gave too much, let's say I was doing too many lectures or too many workshops and not spending enough time with my patients one-on-one, even though it was still passionate work, that was stressing me out than it was the clinic time, the one-on-one time. So there's a whole big picture and a story behind stress, and part of it's foods, part of it's lifestyle, part of it's the sleeping habits and all that. And saying yes and saying no is huge, because that comes into what are you saying yes and no to? Is it honoring your authentic self? So are you saying yes to the right foods? Are you saying yes to the right people?
Absolute wrong foods? Like, let's put that out there right now.
Absolutely wrong.
And they mess up your system.
So I'll tell you, the beauty of Ayurveda, which I practice, Eastern medicine, is that there's usually finessing with foods in terms of who you are. So if you're kind of one type of personality or state, you can tolerate some foods that another kind of individual may or may not tolerate. But the absolutes, I'd say, definitely processed foods. Those foods that have a lot of chemicals and additives and just don't come from Mother Nature, don't come from Earth. You know, they're actually just so synthetically formulated, your body doesn't know what they are. So synthetic foods, processed foods, those that have a lot of genetically modified kind of ingredients. Because again, the body can't recognize something that isn't authentic to it. So if it's genetically modified, your gut is saying, what is that? I don't recognize that as corn. I don't recognize this as wheat. So it's not that I'm going to be so strict and say, don't have wheat. Stay away from all wheat. I would say, hey, maybe if you don't have celiac, you can have wheat in a form that maybe is sprouted grain bread, live grain, you know, really have corn that's non-GMO. So it's all about, you know, how it's presented to you. Is it presented in its authentic way? And then who are you? Are you kind of an excitable type individual? We call them the wind types in Eastern medicine. Well, the wind types actually, they actually do better with dairy than the earth types, who are really heavy and congested. So there's actually nuances within it. But for sure, I'd say processed, modified, high sugar, especially the artificials, and especially those that are substitutes, those sugar substitutes, definitely from a neurological perspective. I mean, they actually are toxic. Toxic to the brain.
So I was going to say, you see the results of what happens when people eat those fake sugars. You know what they are, people. They're in the pink pack, they're in the blue pack, and they're in the yellow pack. You know, what is the good safe sugar. I use honey.
Yeah.
But what do you recommend?
Yeah, same idea. Honey, I would say stevia is all right. If you're open to it, there's actually a, it's a more of an Ayurvedic sweetener. It's called jaggery.
Ooh, how do you spell
and
that?
And it's J-A-G-G-E-R-Y.
Okay.
Okay, jaggery. And the thing about jaggery is it has this really nice kind of molasses almost kind of tasting, very sweetness to it. It's so satisfying if you get used to it, and it's really not so bad for your blood sugars because it comes from an authentic source.
What is the source?
So it's actually it's from the jaggery plant.
Got it.
Yeah, so you actually get it in, and the challenge with a lot of sugars, you can have, you know, for example, raw sugar.
Sure.
That comes from cane.
Right.
Okay, and it's if it's in a nice natural form,
right,
it's fine.
It's
right?
Sugar in the
it's
raw.
Just having too much of it.
Right. Right.
And again, it's based on, I have to just keep saying Ayurveda here, it's based on your type.
Mm-hmm.
So some actually do well with that, some don't.
Correct.
The earthy, kapha, congested, heavy people don't do well with a lot of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the thin, depleted vata types that are too skinny and running around and anxious actually do well with a little bit in the right form.
Okay. So we can't blanket the rules for every type. You
I'd
have
love
to know
to.
Your type.
Exactly.
So for people who want to do the quiz,
sure,
guide them to exactly where they need to go on your website.
So we've just removed that quiz.
Okay. Got it.
Only because what I found is that there's a couple of reasons. Part of the intake, I found that those doing the quiz right now, it's tricky to actually interpret the results without consultation.
Sure. I see.
So in the past, I've said, go to the website, do the quiz, and what I've gotten is more questions than answers.
Okay.
So now I scored this and this and this. How come I'm all three types?
Mm-hmm.
How come I have two types? Which one's my leading type? And quite honestly, without knowing somebody, it's really hard to give them good feedback.
Of course.
So what I've done is for now, I've pulled the quiz. I have something like, I have a webinar actually that is 45 minutes long.
Perfect.
And I say, you know what, just watch the long webinar. It's on the website. You can click learn more on the website. And this webinar is 45 minutes. It gives you a much bigger perspective, far more than a quiz will give you.
Right.
And then if someone wants to explore further, they can definitely reach out to us.
And they can get your book.
And the book
I'm looking at it right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the thing is I get that a lot too. People will just email me, Jen, I need a healer. Jen, I need a psychic. I'm like, actually, you might need a therapist.
Exactly.
Like, let's see.
I don't
because
know.
I don't know what you need because I don't know what your symptoms are and I don't know what it is that you're facing.
Right.
And so a lot of people are in stress and they're in chaos and there are so many layers to the problem. You can't just fix it with one document.
Completely.
Totally get where you're coming from on that one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about chronic pain and what you're seeing in your practice.
Yes. Yeah.
I know some people who suffer from migraines terribly.
Yeah.
I also know that they don't take care of their diet and they drink Diet Coke and they do, you know, I'm not to, to get sued by Coca-Cola company, but they live on saccharin and all of these things that are not nurturing to the body.
Right.
They're also extremely stressed.
Yeah.
They're not fulfilling their divine purpose.
Yep.
They're not following their bliss in any way, shape, or form. So when you see these people that they come in and they just want the drive-through fix, they want the painkillers.
Right.
We have an epidemic right now of people just wanting you to hand them the painkiller prescription.
Yeah.
What do you do with those people?
Yeah. And on that note, 175 deaths a day.
Oh my God.
Okay. 175 deaths a day. I want everyone to hear that because that to me, it should make you stop in your tracks and think, what are we doing that is not really authentic and right for those that suffer with pain? Because quite frankly, if we were able to just use the pill to eradicate pain, we wouldn't have the crisis that we have right now.
Right.
Obviously, it's not solving the problem. There's so much more to this problem. And it isn't just the pill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quite frankly, I do prescribe. And I prescribe wisely. I prescribe for those that are going through, maybe they're going through a divorce, going through a tough time at work. Maybe they lost a member of the family and they're struggling. So short-term, very, very specific use. I personally don't use narcotics in my practice. I will use other tools to help people in pain. But what I always tell my patients, my clients, pain has a purpose. Pain has a purpose. So when it shows up for you, it's showing up for you. It's showing up for you to get you to come back into alignment.
Right.
So you can listen or you cannot listen.
Right.
All right. And if you want your doc to not listen with you, that doc will continue to prescribe pills.
Just keep asking
the pain. On and on.
Right.
And you both can continue this whole journey of not listening.
Right.
Or you can stop and say, okay, I'll have a few pills to help me through this, and then I'm going to start to listen to the pain. And what is the pain saying to me? What is the language of the pain? And I always have people go into that a little bit. Like, just ask yourself, well, you know, it showed up. What do you think? What's the message behind it?
Right.
And in the beginning, you know, when you enter the pain state, there's this whole fear that takes over. Right. The what-if-ing.
What am I sick with?
What do I have?
What disease is it? What cancer is it?
We go into this place that's the reptilian fear-based brain, which tells us that we're going to die.
Right. Totally.
And the reality is that majority of people are not.
Right.
This is just a warning that you're out of alignment. And what are you out of alignment with? The foods.
Mm-hmm.
Quite possibly, quite a few things you're eating that aren't in alignment with yourself. The lack of sleep,
mm-hmm.
you know, the lack of managing how you respond to stress
mm-hmm.
and how long you carry the stress. We all have things that happen to us. All of us. No one can be shielded from that. But when that happens to you, how long do you kind of indulge in that stressful mindset?
Right.
How long do you stay there?
Right.
Do you allow yourself to process it and start thinking, okay, this is happening for me. What can I do to understand why that situation occurred in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at that challenge and actually reframe it and help, you know, ourselves understand what it is to help us kind of become stronger from that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start to process it that way, that's a big one. And then I think, you know, very often we don't know how to say yes and no because we don't know what we want. So I always tell my initial client patient to start doing a couple of things. Step one, ask why. Start delving into the pain body. Ask why is it happening. Step two is
so that takes you out of victim, right?
It takes you out of victim and blaming.
Because it's like, this happened because so-and-so is blah, blah, blah.
And I don't take that for like a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
It stops right here in the clinic. I said, don't even go there with me because I'm not here to feed into the negative story.
Right.
I'm not here to feed that negative pain body, as Eckhart Tolle would call it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feed that. I said, no, I want you to know it happened for a reason. And I want you to actually start to look at it like this is your opportunity
mm-hmm.
to strengthen.
Right.
And if you'd like to strengthen, I'm here to guide you down that path. I'll use Eastern medicine. I'll use whatever tools I can to get you to strengthen. But I won't let you stay there and ruminate over it.
Right.
And look at the world as if people are to get you. So part of it is taking ownership. So stopping and listening to it. Next step is actually just pausing in life.
Yeah.
Taking some time every day to do some breathing.
Right. Meditation is key. And I have recently embraced it in a very, very diligent manner, which I wasn't doing before. I was a drive-through meditator.
Yeah.
You know, I would do it for 5 minutes here, 3 minutes there.
Right.
I was like, whatever.
You felt like you needed it. Yeah.
Now every day I give it a 30-minute dedication.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's actually been helpful for me because have you heard of the Monroe Institute?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
They have these CDs that
Beautiful.
Came out in the 80s
yeah.
that they developed to help the military get through PTSD.
Wow.
Okay. So this whole series, it's like Discovery and Threshold and Freedom, they're called, I mean, it's like a $500 CD pack.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I started these. I'm only on the fourth meditation, but it's taking you through hemisync, which connects both sides of the brain.
Like binaural. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it is so empowering because what they found with the military doing these audio exercises is that they became so in tune. They got over their PTSD, their anxiety, their stress. They were better at sleeping and their intuition opened up so much that some of them were put in the remote viewing program with the CIA.
Oh my God. And we should discuss that because that to me is fascinating when that starts happening, right?
Yes.
Because when we step out of that fear-based, the thought, the fear, that part of us that's constantly keeping us in that state of disconnect from our authentic selves. It's that state that's always worried and scared and angry and frustrated. We can't then ever be intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
We can never be creative in that state.
Right.
We cannot expand in that state. We're restricted, mm-hmm. contracted, and staying safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what pills do. Back to the pills.
Right.
Because just think about that. If someone comes in and says, okay, I need just, you know, it could be even a triptan medicine, which is used very often for migraine.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, I've been taking 8, you know, Imitrex a month for like 5 years and I'm switching doctors. Is that okay? Can you refill those for me? And I always ask, well, it's been 5 years now. What have you learned from the pain? And it's shocking to me how few individuals that come in here have actually been asked that question. They just say, well, it just comes and the Imitrex works.
Mm-hmm.
And no disrespect to Imitrex. It's a great triptan, right?
Yeah.
But I want to ask them, why do you feel the need to take it? Have you not learned the message behind it? And I think one of these things that a lot of people do in pain is as long as they find something works, they just stop right there.
Right.
And they don't go further and explore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the beauty of being in practice 15 years.
Right.
Hindsight, looking back, who does really well in this practice and who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
It's those that take the time to investigate, to learn. Their pain body starts to get quieter and quieter and quieter. Those that don't listen stay either stuck, mm-hmm. and they just stay there, or worse than this, the pain body gets louder.
Got it.
So that hypothalamus, that divine mom in there who's regulating our entire circadian pattern, our sleep-wake cycles, regulating our appetite centers, regulating the cortisol patterns during the day, the hypothalamus actually connects with the brainstem, activates the pain center when we're in danger, mm-hmm. when we believe that we're, you know, our deep brain, maybe because we're dehydrated, we haven't slept enough, we're eating all those processed foods. The deep brain says, you're not nourishing yourself. You're not going to survive this.
Right.
If you keep going like this,
right.
you are going to die.
Right.
So the deep brain turns on the pain signal
mm-hmm.
over and over every time it thinks that we are going to die. It's just a very simple reptilian response. There's no higher level thinking with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the pain response, the stress response is because it's trying to really, our deep brain is trying to get us out of danger.
Right.
And so we keep medicating that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the hypothalamus, I call it the divine mom. She says, okay, I'm going to send a louder signal because I guess she didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make this louder and stronger. Let's make these headaches last longer. Let's get the pain to get even more fierce.
Right.
And maybe then she'll listen.
Right.
And then maybe.
Well, the brain is so elastic.
Yeah.
And in building new pathways,
right.
there's all this research that's coming out now with hallucinogenics, right?
Right.
And with ecstasy and marijuana and ayahuasca and all these things. Michael Pollan's got a book out about talking how they're helping people with chronic pain or PTSD
mm-hmm.
to get them to that happy, blissful state
yeah.
so that their body, their brain rather, can understand what that feels like. Mm-hmm. If they've been in pain for so long
yeah,
and been sad for so long, they don't remember what it feels like to be happy.
Right.
What in your research have you seen with those patterns
yeah.
and how are you helping people break through them so that they can form new patterns?
Yeah, it's a fascinating conversation question because it allows us to see one thing that's really clear is those that use those different types of, be it hallucinogenics or products, even, you know, CBD, mm-hmm. using THC, different things, what they find is they finally, what you said, is they have access to that place that's authentic within them, that happy, blissful, harmonious space. Power versus Force, I don't know if you've heard that
of
book.
Of course,
yet.
David Hawkins. Yes.
He talks about this with actually narcotic and opiate use also. It's from an Ayurvedic Eastern medicine standpoint, it's actually, I look at it like the lower chakras, the roots, the sacral, the solar plexus, which are linked to, the root chakra is linked to just being grounded, being mm-hmm. safe.
Right.
Feeling like you fit. You have a safe space to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sacral is your emotional sense. The ability to express your emotions, to be vulnerable.
Sure, sure.
And the solar is the sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, too much sense of self builds the ego.
Really? I would think it's more like the sixth and seventh chakra where you're going off to space. No?
The sixth and connection to divine.
Right.
And actually, if we can do it in a healthy manner,
sure.
we feel that there's faith. We don't have to fear life because there's faith that life is here serving us a purpose.
Totally.
And what's interesting is that what I find is that for those that respond to all of those things, be it narcotics, hallucinogenics, they're clearing the lower chakra energy.
Got it.
They suddenly feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
They suddenly feel they could be emotional.
Right.
You know when somebody has a cocktail and they start telling you the life story.
Right.
They don't tell you when they haven't had a cocktail. You're like, suddenly you open up like, you know, and they can't stop because
right.
they're holding back.
Right.
So it allows one to be in their authentic self because their mind has been blocking them from that. Their fear, their anger, that sense of like, it's me versus you, that
mm-hmm.
egoic, like, I'm out to compete with you and I can't live in, you know, I've got to constantly survive life.
Right.
That's a lower chakra imbalanced thought processing.
Totally.
So these agents kind of allow one to just clear that energy.
Right.
And yeah, feel their authentic self.
Right.
So I call that in Ayurveda your doshic energy, your natural. Are you naturally a wind type, but unfortunately took on a job as an attorney and now you're fiery all the time?
Right.
And you just want to be that creative, windy person that loves music and dance and art.
Right.
But you can't do it because you're an attorney and you just can't do it.
Right.
Well, that sometimes opening themselves up with those different things allows people to feel their creativity they couldn't express.
Right.
It's really interesting.
And
you know,
you can shut it down 9 to 5, Monday through Friday,
yeah.
but on your weekends or
just,
on your nights,
yes.
let that creative freak
fly.
Let it
come out. Let
yeah.
it fly. So, you know, great question. You bring this up because I remember when I was early in my training, one of my Vijas, my trainers, said to me, he said, what do you do on your off time?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you're on time and off time separate. And this was at a time I had 2 young kids. I had 2 clinics. You talk about balance.
I was going to say, when did you have any
or
off
lack
time?
Thereof. And I
yeah.
will be honest with you.
Yeah.
There was no balance. My off time, my one day off per week, I was playing competitive tennis. with these very intense women.
Oh, yeah.
And I told him my off time at that point. I thought this was my relaxed sport I was playing because I had fun. I was having fun.
Right.
But it was competitive.
Right.
So I said, in my off time on my Fridays, I play tennis. I play 2 hours of tennis. And he said, okay, wait. So on your on time, you're running two clinics. You've got two kids that you're running around and getting groceries and making them dinner and doing all these things and running the clinics. And then that day off, you're spending playing competitive tennis. He's like, do you hear yourself what you're saying? And I said, and then the weekends were always go, 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 right? And he asked me, he's like, I'd like you to stop playing tennis.
And were you like,
Jen, I'm going to tell you right now. I was like, my only friends are those four women I see in tennis because I was working all the time. I didn't have any time.
Right.
And I remember following him around. We were at a conference. I kept following him around saying, please tell me that can't be true. And he said, no, you've got to stop. But that was the time I had learned Ayurveda in my medical school. I had sleep issues back then. I had discovered Deepak Chopra and done some of the work then to help me get back to sleep. That's why I knew it existed.
Right.
And then I did my certification after I finished neurology training.
Right.
But I can't say I was following all the principles. I was still learning.
Right.
And I was looking for ways to get better and better at getting myself into alignment.
Right.
I knew I was too fired up and I knew I needed to do something. And it was so obvious. I look back, stopped playing the tennis. So I stopped playing tennis, started doing restorative yoga, started meditating, and it changed me completely.
Wow.
And it was unbelievable how, had I not heard that, had someone from an outside perspective tell me about on and off time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so glad you brought that up, because I want everyone to think about this. Is your on time and off time separate? Do you do things on your off time that support the real you?
Right.
And it's okay in your on time if you can't be your real you. That's okay. I have people that come into my clinic, they say, on my on time at work, I am so a different person.
Right.
I've got to be more detailed and organized, and this is the work I have. Fine.
Right.
It's all right.
Right.
But like you said, your off time, please.
Right.
Turn that off. If that's not you, and it probably isn't.
Totally.
Let yourself be free and have fun.
Yeah. I just got an email from a reader, and she said, Jen, during the day I'm a legal secretary, and at night I'm a medium. And I'm like, you go, girl. That's quite a combo.
That's the fantastic
thing.
And I'm blessed in my clinic I can do both.
Right.
You can. I brought it in, and I do encourage everyone, if you can, bring it somehow in. I've seen executives bring in their mindfulness work to their workplace, and teachers bring in breathing exercises to their classrooms. I mean, you can do that.
Right.
I don't want people to think it has to be so separate, especially like, I'm going on vacation to shut down. Like, come back to this crazy life. You know, it shouldn't be so dramatically different.
Exactly.
At 5 p.m., you shouldn't just turn into a different person. I mean, some of it should be happening during the day.
Yeah. And you talk about the breathing exercises, because I did your cleanse, and I'm so due for another one. I'm going to start.
And I will start. Me too. Okay.
When are you starting?
Too.
We do it at the same time. Okay. So on this cleanse, you know, you start your day with the reverse breathing and the meditation, and you have your mantra, and these are intentions that you set your day.
Right.
So it's like setting the channel and turning on that channel, and then you have that consciousness throughout the day. Why is it? And I said this when I was pregnant, I treated my body better than ever before because I was a container for a kid, right?
Yes.
I was a condo.
Yes.
I was raising a kid.
Right.
Well, guess what? We're always a condo.
Always.
For ourselves.
Always.
And we don't treat ourselves with that same kind of respect.
We
and that is where we have to flip the coin so that we can get people to understand that this is always happening.
Yeah.
Now that I've been doing the meditation, my clairaudience and claircognizance, so clairhearing, clairfeeling, clear knowing, have been on overdrive. And I think it's because some pathways have opened up neurologically.
Sure.
So tell me from a scientific perspective, what is happening to me?
So can we, and we can even talk about the drug use before, like the using hallucinogenics, ayahuasca, all these different things. You can achieve the same outcomes by focused attention on quieting your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So the anterior cingulate cortex, it's the part of the brain that, it's responsible for your attention.
Okay.
So it is where we choose to put our attention towards that can either help us or hinder us.
Okay.
So my attention could be towards all of the things I have to do that maybe in my life are not maybe going in the right direction. I could focus on the negativity of, you know, who knows? I could name in a lot of things that I'm
to-do list, bills.
You got it. You got
whatever it is.
You know, and what
stressful teacher for your kids.
Totally.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right. I could put my attention there.
Right.
Or I could put my attention into a space where I say for myself, I want to honor the best, most authentic, most vibrant part of me. So my attention is going to be on my breath and myself and clearing any negativity that comes to the surface of my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meditation, I choose to use my anterior cingulate cortex to go into that space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a lot of people, when they're meditating, they say, you know what? I have a hard time. I keep thinking about the bills. I keep thinking about the work. I keep thinking about the stressors. And the reality is, yes, some of that might bubble to the surface. You can't resist and force it to go away. But what you can do is at least put your attention on the present.
Right.
I always recommend, especially if the weather's nice, just nice, just sit outside.
Right.
Put your attention to the warm sun hitting the back of your head.
Right.
Put your attention on the birds that are chirping.
Right.
Put your attention on the smells. Maybe there's some flowers you can smell. So if you just stay right there and practice that,
right,
it's not that complicated.
No.
But this, what this does is cleansing, because we're talking about cleansing. It cleanses the pathways of toxic thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use drugs.
Right.
You can use ayahuasca. You can do some fancy things to do it. Or you can use something really simple, which is a 2-minute, 3-minute breath meditation twice a day.
Right.
So when someone wants to cleanse their physical body, they come in and say, I need to cleanse. You know, I'm feeling toxic. I'm feeling heavy. Maybe the foods I've been eating haven't been great. All the foods. I get that physical cleansing. And, you know, a few supplements.
Like getting your oil change for your car.
You got it. You got to do that. Mm-hmm. That's a must. But how about the emotional cleansing?
Right.
And that's where if you can put those together, you emotionally and physically cleanse at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I believe you should do it for 10 days.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable how you feel. If you keep repeating that every season, fall and spring, fall and spring, fall and spring.
Right.
What happens is there is, and there's definitely data that shows the more we focus, the prefrontal cortex becomes stronger. It actually is interesting. It gets smaller because what happens is the prefrontal cortex gets more connected, and that's the executive functioning part of the brain.
Okay.
And that deep limbic center, which is that emotional part of the brain linked to the reptilian fear-based brain.
Yeah.
Kind of loses its voice.
Nice.
The prefrontal really picks up. And that's why you're getting more clairaudient. You're starting to get more insightful, more intuitive.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you think about it, it's really opening up the higher brain. And we are humans. We aren't reptiles.
Right.
So stop being reptilian, everybody. Like, literally let the higher brain open up.
Right.
And that's when pain goes away.
Right.
So this is the same conversation I have with my patients in pain.
Wow.
It's all about starting with this whole idea of toxic thoughts, being stuck in this pace of life where you're moving and going and doing and saying yes to every single thing,
right,
realizing that's not benefiting you, change your diet, change your mind. But at some level, you have to realize that you have to take time and space in your day to do this. This
right.
isn't just going to happen
right.
with a pill.
It has and to that's the thing. It has yeah. to happen with some dedication. And
yeah.
that's where I have always been the, oh, if I could just do a 2-minute meditation, and
yeah.
that does help.
Right.
But the 30 minutes has been like getting an MBA.
It is fantastic.
I mean, it's a totally different thing for me.
It is completely.
Whereas before I felt like I was just doing like maybe a webinar. It was
right.
I was dipping my toe in it. And
right.
now I feel like I could really live in that space and know
yeah.
it's making a difference. And I'll give an example. I always seem to misplace my keys or my phone.
Sure.
So when that happens now, instead of running around in circles and just going on autopilot, looking for everything, I stop. I take a breath. I picture my breath going into my heart. And I picture my like the center of my brain turning on like a light bulb. I'm like, and I breathe and I stop and I say,
yeah.
where are the keys? And then I'll get a hit. Like they're right in your briefcase in the side thing. And I go, and there they are.
There they are.
And all it is energy that my neurons have been activated.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's a muscle. So
it's a muscle.
Our brain is a map and we're looking
yes.
at it. And
yes.
there's pink over here and there's blue
yeah.
over here and there's nothing over here.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is restructuring that
yes.
map. With
you're
the meditation.
Reorganizing the neuroplasticity, and
right.
you're like back to this attention seeking. You're choosing to attend to a side of you that's going to be more bountiful, right? The side of you that's going to bring the mind to where the keys are,
right?
Right?
Totally.
And what's beautiful, the more you practice it, it just becomes naturally there for you. You don't have to try so hard. It's
right.
it's like a habit. Once you start doing it and it becomes like brushing your teeth, you will start to bring mindfulness into your whole day.
Right.
The meditation becomes your day. And that's where this on and off time, you're always at the right space for yourself.
Truly.
And you're not turning on too intensely and turning off too intensely. You're actually in a more balanced space, which is what Ayurveda says, is find your authentic state.
Right.
We call it the dosha. It's your prakriti. It's your birth nature.
Right.
Energetically, which element are you in? Can you stay in that space?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, hey, stress levels go way down.
Right.
And there's an interesting word. It's actually a belief system in Ayurveda, pragya parad. And this word, it means a mistake of the intellect. And what ends up happening, they say, is that when we do things out of alignment with our intellect, and intellect is that intuition you just
right.
said.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, hanging out with the wrong girlfriend or hanging out with the wrong guy or
right.
hanging out the wrong job because you just get paid well, but it's a horrible position you're in because you know
mm-hmm.
you're not doing good work, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
There is a deep part of you that knows you shouldn't be there.
And everything in your body and mind will start to fire.
to fire off.
Right.
And so either you can make the change to step out of comfort zone and find that space for you, that's a better space for you.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be easy. It's never easy doing that, right? Mm-hmm. But either you can do that or you can stay in that space. And if you don't step out, that's where you just end up not ever evolving to the higher brain.
Right.
You never, magical things just won't happen in your lives. I mean, that's the thing I've seen. People just kind of stay stuck. And then unfortunately, the pattern creates more harm down the road.
Right. We just had a conversation last night with two wealth managers about health and wealth.
Yeah.
And that when their belief system is that your wealth is not going to be in alignment if your mental health and spiritual health is not also in alignment. So if you're constantly going for that shiny carrot or that dollar amount that, oh, this will be way more money, I've got to go this route.
Yes.
But you know internally it's not the right fit.
Absolutely.
It will burn. And they say that they've seen it happen with client after client after client. It will not last. It's like standing in quicksand.
It's standing, boom. You have it for a moment, you have it, and then it's gone.
Right.
And so this whole concept, pragya-prarabdha, is like once you understand that it's mistakes of that intellect that creates not only disease, but creates the unfortunately lack of holding on to wealth, the lack of being able to hold on to people that love you in your lives. You just to look around, you're like, how come I'm lonely? How come I don't have the friends? How come it's because of not hearing that authentic voice. Mm-hmm. And you start listening to it, and you actually just really, all of us can hear it. We just choose to ignore it.
Right. Oh, it's true.
We all choose to ignore it. I mean, come on, we all know what the right things are to eat. I mean, we know that intuitively, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, why don't we always do that?
We have to listen to the whispers. So for our listeners out there, give them a couple of tips. I know you have like 7 tips usually, but give a few tips of what people can do to listen to that authentic and inner voice, make the better changes, even if it's a supplement that you truly believe in. Yeah. I know you have a lot of supplements available too. I've recently embraced turmeric or turmeric, that to me seems to be a wonderful addition to my sort of diet.
Yeah.
But what would you recommend people sort of embrace now? Daily options?
I mean, number one, embrace the fact that most likely you are living like the majority of people out of alignment with your true self. So step one is to start to honor sometime, even if it's just 2 minutes every day, to pause, to do some deep breathing, and to reflect on your day. I recommend it being in the morning before you actually start your day.
Right.
So for me, my habit is I actually love essential oils. Mm-hmm. So I have a little essential oil, bottle sitting right next to my bed.
Perfect.
And right when I wake up, I start with 3 grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm really big on the 3 grateful.
Right.
And just put the oils on my wrists here, a little bit the third eye. And then I go into a very quick 2-minute breathing technique called reverse nostril breathing. Mm-hmm. And let myself just spend 2 minutes in that space. It's just 2 minutes.
Right.
But I'm telling you, in that space, I'm able to see what I need to do for the day. Mm-hmm. And it's something so simple, and yet everyone just can do it without really having to change their lifestyle. Right. Mm-hmm. So starting with breath, 2 minutes in the morning, I highly recommend. Oils are an additional kind of bonus if you like using essential oils.
Diffusers, which I love.
Diffusers are great. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then actually during the day, just being mindful of the circadian pattern of the environment. The whole goal of alignment with ourselves is getting aligned with Mother Nature.
Right.
Okay? So it may sound really simple, but it's hard for a lot of people to do. Have lunch every day. Ideally, the biggest meal of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's hard, especially for the busy Westerner. I've got too many things going on.
Right. The best, biggest meal between 10 and 2.
10 and 2, because the sun's at its peak.
Right.
And it's one of those things that people are looking for, simple tricks to lose weight.
Right.
Simple tricks to sleep better.
Right.
Okay.
There's one of them.
Hey. Mm-hmm. And there's data on this.
Right.
There's actually data to show that if you eat your biggest meal, then you will actually lose some weight and you'll feel better and you'll sleep better. So.
Right.
So that's something else. In terms of supplements, I love Trifla. Trifla is it's a botanical. Mm-hmm. I love botanicals. Mother Nature gave it to us. Why not use it?
Right.
And this one has Amalaki, Harataki, Bibitaki, 3 fruits that hit all 3 energy states, our Vata, Pitta, Kapha side to us. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it's constantly cleansing. It's a rejuvenative herbal that's constantly cleansing. It's an anti-aging. It's got this ability to detoxify your liver, which is turmeric also does that. Mm-hmm. And it tonifies your digestive system.
And is it nighttime only, or can you do it morning too?
There are lots of ways to take it. I'd say the typical, if someone's just going to start it, always do things under medical supervision.
Of course.
But I would say if doctor's okay with it, which it's a very safe herbal, one before bedtime is a really nice thing to do because you actually end up cleansing your liver. You cleanse your liver between 10 and 2, by the way. So 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Got it.
So it's a nice, easy trick to help cleansing your liver, especially when you're traveling and you're moving and going a lot. It's really nice to have something to kind of help support that and help support digestive function, because the gut is the origin of disease in Ayurvedic medicine. I even think the mind and the gut kind of are close in terms of origin of disease.
Right.
Because that Pragya Parak principle I brought up, a lot of the Ayurvedic Vaijas, my trainer said, that is actually the cause of disease, is a mistake of the intellect. And when your intellect, your mind is off and your body is stressed, your gut gets stressed.
Let's talk about a stressy gut. I was on antibiotics as a child from pretty much the age I can recall being alive until I was 19 and finally got my tonsils out.
Wow.
And I'm allergic to penicillin, so it was erythromycin. I would always have a strep throat. They would put me on erythromycin, then tetracycline. They would kind of go back and forth. It never fully got rid of the infection. Mm-hmm. Finally, they took out the tonsils. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But they weren't taking tonsils out anymore, except mine were so chronically inflamed, right? So they finally take those out, but it took years for my gut to reset. And I think so many people are put on antibiotics and they don't realize what's happening to their GPS in the center here in their second and third chakra. So what do you recommend for people who spend a lot of time on antibiotics?
Well, I mean, step one, key one, is just get yourself in connection with Mother Nature. Right. Get your meals in on time. I mean, it's something simple. Chew your food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many bites?
Now, remember, it's supposed to be 32.
32.
Yeah, but that's like almost impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we can even do 20, yay, bravo, if we can do 20.
Better than two.
Better than two.
Yeah.
Because as we chew, just to kind of go through this real quick, as you're chewing, just imagine the hypothalamus, divine malum, is connecting to the upper digestive system, and you're chewing and you start releasing amylase from the salivary glands. You start breaking down your carbs. The longer you're chewing, the brain can talk to the upper digestive system and say, hey, the food is coming. Now, pancreas, let's get some enzymes going. Gallbladder, let's get some bile going. Hey, stomach, let's get some acid production going. There has to be a conversation.
Right.
If there's no conversation, the food just makes its way down there. Do you think your food's going to be broken down well? Probably not.
Yeah.
So we have to chew enough to let that conversation between the brain and the gut happen.
Right.
And one more thing, this is just such an interesting thing I find, is when we're in stress, blood flow shifts from the gut to your muscles because you're running from the bear.
Interesting.
So how can you process your food when your mind is stressed?
Right.
So everyone just take a deep breath. Again, I like the reverse nostril breathing, the 2-minute breathing. You don't have to go into a full breath, two-minute breath. But just simply taking a breath, maybe say a little prayer, just pause, be grateful for your food. Don't rush and eat, because the brain then feels, especially don't watch TV.
Right.
Truly. Especially stressful things on TV.
Yep.
Try not to have
put down your electronics.
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Something heavy that's happening during the day, don't dialogue it during dinner.
Mm-mm.
You don't need to get your mind to that space.
Right.
So these are the simple tricks that will actually help if your gut has been imbalanced, because a lot of people don't even do those things.
Right.
Then don't drink a lot of heavy fluids with your meals. I'm not sure if you've heard this one. Cold drinks, especially go to a restaurant, they'll give you a big glass of cold water.
Right.
That dilutes your digestive enzymes and it stuns your gut.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So don't drink ice cold water with your meal. You actually want to give yourself an hour before the meal and 2 hours after the meal to have liquids. Now, if you sip on a little bit of warm tea, like at an Asian restaurant, little green tea, you sip on it, you know, have miso soup, you sip on that. That's okay, because that actually helps, because the gut, remember, it's fire. We call it Agni in Eastern medicine. Agni is digestive fire. You don't want to put out the fire with a cold drink.
Right. Oh my gosh. I literally would have like 3 glasses of ice water every meal. And you're saying I'm stinting the whole process.
The whole plate. Because if you imagine cold and energy, Eastern medicine it's constricting.
Got it.
You kind of feel when you're cold, you tighten up.
Mm-hmm.
The colon tightens, the neck tightens. So in terms of pain, people get neck pain, tension, headache when they're cold.
Yeah.
So you have to do warming things.
Oh, good grief.
So those are, before we get to the, like, fixing the gut, those are like some simple principles I tell people. Like, you know, just start to do that. And then, of course, there's the, I believe in spore-based probiotics. I have some favorites on that. I believe in the Trifala.
Mm-hmm.
I really even use things that are like aloe vera juice, depending on if you're heated after your meals, a little refluxy. Aloe vera is a really nice, simple tool.
I was going to ask, a lot of people have acid reflux, and so you think that's a good tool.
It's a great tool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then something called DGL, deglycerated licorice, DGL, chewable tablets. I have great luck with those after meals. If someone has more reflux, it rebuilds the lining.
Got it.
So there's lots of little tricks and lots of things you can do. So the beauty of now with our knowledge base is there's lots you can do, even if you've got exposure to antibiotics, to rebuild the gut. It takes the lifestyle plus supplements. I'm really big on everything.
Right.
And the mind. Because you could take the supplements, you could be chewing your food, you could be doing all these great habits, but if your mind is constantly stressed, it's going to take away from the benefits.
Exactly.
So if we can kind of do a three-pronged approach. And it's, yes, it's a bigger approach, but you just see, the more you meditate, the more you do these things, your mind goes into a calmer space.
The results are worth it.
It's so worth it.
Yeah.
There's no reason why we shouldn't be doing that.
How can people find you?
Well, right now we have a new website, truptigokaniimd.com.
truptigokaniimd.com.
Yeah. And on that site, we've got some of our lovely podcasts. We've got some videos. We've got some interesting blogs that have been written on different topics. And I think the idea is just to, as much as possible, share this knowledge, share these principles, so we don't have, you know, individuals out there suffering that don't know where to turn and where to go. And if they can't come in and see me, at least finding someone near you that will be supporting you on your journey.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things you can do to heal that pain body without taking a lot of prescription medications.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's stop the cycle of addiction to these meds and get people in their right alignment. Thank you so much, Trupti.
Oh, thank you, Jen.
For all that you do, you walk your talk. We will start our cleanse together.
Yes, let's do it on Monday.
Okay.
Thank you for all you do, too. You're an amazing lady.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. All right.
I am so grateful for the time. Anybody who's listening, if you enjoyed this conversation, please pass it along. And for everybody out there, stay spiritual, damn it, and we will see you next time.